W-D-E-N-P-C.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 100% match on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now, broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We could leave any day, call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out. Me and more, breathe in, breathe out. Never mind, it was time. Number nine, let my lies, feline, with a death wish. Be right, didn't have no name on a guest list. Hold on, we're destined.
Cam Newton's hat guy outdid himself. We got a confirmation from my friend Kevin Joseph that Cam Newton has a hat guy. He's on television right now. Stephen A. Smith and the rest of the First Take crew is at Morehouse College. They're going to be at Morehouse, Clark Atlanta, and Spelman. They do this, well, they've done this last couple weeks. They go to a traditionally, historically black school. Cam Newton's got a special hat on for the occasion. Eric, you want to talk about the Cougars. I don't think you've ever called in about the Houston Cougars. What's up, Eric?
Hey, Bill, don't play Olole. Yeah.
It's Olole, yeah.
They said there's a rumor that the Titans owner is trying to stop the Cougars from selling their older jerseys. Also, what about Kendall Graveman? I think we should sign him. He traded a good player for him. And one more thing, and I'll hang up. Why did tight ends close over there in the Gulf Freeway? That was a great place. I'll hang up and listen.
I don't know why tight ends close. I don't know the ins and outs of why that gentleman's club closed, Eric. And I've never been. Maybe you could tell me why it closed. Were the ladies not of the greatest quality? Maybe the management wasn't great? I don't know. He asked about, well, the problem is when you asked about the Titans trying to stop the Cougars from selling the uniforms, that you called them the Oiler uniforms. That doesn't help. I think that's the whole point. I don't even know if that's still an active case, because I know the Cougs last week decided, or I don't know if it was explicitly last week, but they made it public that those uniforms are coming back.
Yeah,
and they're selling merchandise.
Yeah, they're selling them now. They had to change some of the. I was talking to Jeremy about it. Not to reveal my source.
Too late now.
I should have filmed the conversation.
But pointed at the ground. Yeah.
Yeah. But Jeremy was saying that they had to change the stripes on the shoulders that were very Oilers-like, and they just took them off. And also the stripe on the helmet was the same, like down the middle of the helmet, was the same as the Oilers. And I think they either took it off or took off one element of it that made it explicitly the Oilers. So they had to tweak the jerseys a little bit. They're not going to be the same exact ones that they wore last year, but they're going to wear them on the 23rd. Another source close to the program tells me.
Well, I also saw them. It was publicly reported.
Oh, okay. Also, AJ told me right here.
Yes.
He's close to the program physically. I can almost touch him.
This program. I thought you meant the Cougs
program.
No,
this program.
Okay.
This radio program.
Okay, got it.
So, yeah, they're selling them. I think they're making basketball jerseys, too.
Yeah, I thought they were going to make the color and maybe not explicitly the scheme, because maybe that's the issue. The color was going to be something that goes throughout the entire athletic programs. So you're going to see the color in a lot of places.
That'd be cool.
So they made the uniform probably less cool by taking off the stripes and the helmet, but still the color will remain.
Yeah.
So it'll be the signature color, at least when they have special games.
As far as Oiler-inspired alternate jerseys, the originals probably – still number one.
Sure.
The original Houston Cougars ones, still number one. The Rice ones are pretty good. these new ones, we'll see them on the field, but I think they're right around the Rice level. And then all the way last place, the Houston Rockets, Christian Wood era ones. Those stunk.
Speaking of the Rockets, here AJ laughing in the background. Speaking of the Rockets, they have unveiled new uniforms. They'll have H-Town across the front. The uniforms are meant to mimic the banners from the titles back in the mid-90s. I think the half-court logo will be the Summit logo from when they won the titles.
Stolen Valor.
You
can't just take an old stadium's half-court logo?
Yeah, I don't know how that works. I guess
the Summit. It's Toyota Center.
Tillman owns all of it. Old logos, he owns it all. So you'll see those uniforms at some point this year. If you have ever seen the Astros banners, you will recognize where that scheme comes from. Yeah. Or look it up right now. Or just look up. They've already made the announcement. They've shown you the uniforms with players in them, so you can see that
online
right
now. Yeah, check
out
on social media.
Houston Rockets.
On their website.
Their official Twitter. Yeah, all that stuff. Instagram, all that stuff is there. So that's some uniform news. Since we're doing this now, what else did he have? Oh, Kendall Graveman. Kendall Graveman is just a free agent right now. He's with no team. You remember those days when they're hinting at him coming back, but just like all the other Astros pitchers, he didn't come back.
Whatever happened? We really just blew past
just
that.
Threw that out. We always assumed he wasn't going to be available, and then Kendall Graveman's still trying to work his way back, and of course he never.
Well, maybe September, and
which is,
and then September came, and no one I don't think we ever brought up Kendall Graveman.
No, but
it was not close.
No, he was never going to pitch, even though they told us he might, but. He's a free agent, Eric. I don't know what the Astros plans for him. I haven't heard his name mentioned very much. He might be one of those guys at this point where he has to prove that he's healthy, and then teams will take a look at him, and we'll go from there. I also was prompted to talk about this for a little bit. There is a certain individual who is ditching school, and just be aware, since we're doing this segment, we might as well do it here.
Yeah.
Fort Bend's after you, Hayden.
Whoa.
Hayden, Fort Bend's after you. Whoa. They know you are out of school. I was just informed Fort Bend ISD put out an alert for a certain Hayden. And if you're not in school by, let's say, 1, you're going to get expelled.
Wow.
That's my shout out.
Hayden on the run, listening to the radio.
Yeah. Now, obviously, she's not doing it alone. So if you are helping Hayden in her ditching school, you are someone they're going to look at, too.
All accomplices. This is like The Fugitive.
Yeah. Well, who was the killer in that? The man with the hook. There was a guy with the hook who killed Harrison Ford, a prosthetic who killed.
Yeah, the one armed man.
The one armed man killed Harrison.
Yeah.
Hayden, is the one armed man driving you around? And Hayden is the daughter for Hill Ramzanali. I just don't do this randomly for people. By the way, that's not what this show's going to be. I'm just not doing shout-outs for people. But Raheel Ramzanali is the accomplice in question. The enabler, I guess I would call him. But
oh,
Hayden,
he is?
But Hayden, get back to school.
Yeah, I don't care if your dad says it's okay.
Yeah. In fact, he's the last guy you should be taking advice from. This is just going to turn into a ripping daddy segment, so he might want to turn the radio off. He might want to turn away. Raheel Ramzanali, the host of CityCast. You can find that wherever you listen to podcasts. He joins us from time to time. In fact, he called in last week when I was out at Bobcat of Houston in Lamarck. So we'll get to some college football in the next segment. But did you see that Oklahoma State, the fans have responded to Mike Gundy's apology? If you don't know, this has been a week-long thing. Earlier in the week, Mike Gundy called anyone who was criticizing his program one of the poors, said they couldn't take care of themselves, couldn't take care of their families, didn't have jobs, and they got all their validation from insulting his program. And he went on to say how good they've been over the last 18, 19 years, which has been the extent of his time there. He didn't take kindly to the fact that he was being attacked for the awful year they're having. They were a ranked team last year, were the Big 12 finalists, if you want to call them that. They lost to Texas in the Big 12 title game. And they've been bad this year, really bad. And he didn't like it. Now then he apologized on Tuesday. Was that Tuesday night he apologized?
It was Tuesday during the election.
Yeah, he apologized on Twitter during the election. He apologized for his words. But the Oklahoma State fans have not accepted his apology. If you go by what they're doing on social media, what happens when a team loses and the social team has to put out things because that's their job, and all you see in the comments are people crushing them. Well, this is what's happening to Oklahoma State football. They are talking about their game. They're going to TCU. A rivalry as such, because it's a Big 12. It's a lot about how poor they are and why they can't go. Sorry, too poor to make it. Can Gundy spot me a ticket? I won't be paying him back since I'm a deadbeat who can't pay his bills. Maybe I can use my EBT card for tickets. Kids will just have to go without food for a week or so. What else is that? Sending you my QR code for gas money. Thanks in advance. It was a lot of that. A lot of people, and Thurman Thomas even quote tweeted one from one of the Oklahoma State fan sites on Twitter. Are tickets free? I'm poor. And Thurman Thomas just LMAO'd this. So that is the way Oklahoma State fans are entertaining themselves after what has been an awful season so far.
I'm surprised Thurman Thomas was getting in the mix.
Well, he probably thinks it's really funny.
I guess. I mean, didn't he play with Gundy?
Was he in that time frame? He might have been.
It might have been. They might have just missed each other. But they're around the same age.
Yeah, Mike Gundy's been around. Yeah, he's been part of the Oklahoma State program for the better part of his entire life. So you're right. If I look at Mike Gundy's 57 years old, how old is Thurman Thomas?
Probably like 60.
58. So, yeah, they probably were on the same team. Yeah. Or they just missed each other, but they probably were.
There's less redshirt nonsense. There's less Cam Risings around. So they probably played together.
Yeah. It's
very likely. Back when 4 years meant 4 years, you know?
Yeah, you might get five.
Yeah, maybe. Redshirt, your freshman year.
Yeah. Yeah, a lot of that. I make minimum wage. Sorry, can't go. A lot of that. My cable just cut off because I'm behind on my bills. Good luck, though.
I like that the Oklahoma State fans are united on this.
Yeah, there's one thing they're united on is in taking shots at the guy who called them poors and deadbeats.
The greatest coach in the program's history.
Yeah.
By a mile.
Clearly, Mike Gundy, at least in this regard, took a misstep.
Yeah, he took a hit.
That one you should have left alone. Don't call your fan base, the people who, you know, support you, go to the games, buy merchandise, talk about your team, even if it is negatively. Don't call them deadbeats.
Well, did we talk about how we weren't sure if it was he was talking about the fans specifically or just like the media around Oklahoma State?
I don't think
think it matters.
The issue was the he didn't clarify. He didn't make it clear.
Fans seem like they thought they were talking about him. That's just as bad.
No matter what he thought he was getting across, it came across that he was talking about the fan base. Because the fan base, rightfully so, has been negative about the program this year. Wow. They're 0-6 in conference play.
Only the poor ones.
Is there a net worth requirement to attend? I sold my grandfather's war medal to attend this game. You can find it. It's on Bro Bible. But if you type in Oklahoma State fans, you'll find stories about this.
Or if you just go to their game tweet.
You can go to OSU football, Cowboy football.
And just start clicking.
Yeah, and find out. It's a lot of that as they have not liked the product this year and not liked the words from the head coach. We'll come back with some real college football stuff when we come back. A big weekend. We're getting closer and closer to championship weekend, which means it's really playoff eliminator time. We got a couple teams, Alabama and LSU, who are likely out if they lose, and then certainly Ole Miss is if they lose to Georgia. Georgia may have one more loss in them and still stay in the race. So we'll talk about that. We'll go around the world of college football when we come back.
ESPN 97.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Del Olalea Show.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now back to Del Olalea.
Welcome back to the show. Texans play the Lions on Sunday, but you guys know what that means. There is breaking news.
There is breaking news.
What's the news?
It involves the Texans playing the Lions on Sunday. One guy who might play, and it just got a little bit more likely. The Texans have officially designated wide receiver Nico Collins to return to practice from injured reserve.
And the corresponding move to get him back on the roster is officially putting Kenyon Green on injured reserve. We knew he was going to be out for the year, but that move is now official. So we asked the question of you, By you, I mean the general, you out there listening, and I'll ask it of Sean as well. Friday is a light day. They don't do much on Fridays. Obviously, that's a lot to do. Hey, let's not get a guy hurt on a Friday before the game. Would they play him after 4-plus weeks of not practicing and then a day on Friday where they're not doing much of anything? Is that the way you reintroduce your star receiver back? Like, generally, teams are cautious. They want the guy to get at least a couple days in, and that's why we thought yesterday was very important. Why would one day be extra, be more fitting for him to be back? I don't know, but it's always how it's done. Obviously, the hope was he'd be back on Wednesday like Jeff Okuda was and Jerry Hughes, but he didn't come back till Friday. So what probably amounts to pretty much a walkthrough. They're going to be in shorts and Texans issued shorts. And then maybe they have a jersey on, but there won't be any like shells underneath. I don't think they'll be going at full speed. Is that enough? We knew from Aaron Wilson's reporting that he was healthy, ready to go, no setbacks, but they waited till today. So is that simply we're messing with the Lions? Because the Lions, from according to Lance Zierlein, who talked to some people in that building, they thought he would be back. They were surprised he was not back yesterday, and now they get word after the what appeared to be the cutoff day for him to be available to play that he's back today. So was this all a game and he's going to be playing on Sunday? Or is it something where they're going to leave this to a designation of questionable or doubtful, and then he won't play? And they'll say, we wanted Nico to get a full weekend before he played.
Well, I think for sure he had, I mean, I would just list him as questionable no matter what.
Yeah.
Shout to Lane Kiffin. Just mark him as questionable.
Hey, if they're questionable, when they drop, they fake an injury. No, look, I told you, he was on the injury report.
But as far as Collins goes, I mean, if he was healthy this entire week, or like healthy enough to practice this entire week, I would have just activated him and had him practice the whole week.
Considering he had not practiced for 4 weeks.
Yes. And if you're going to say, well, the practices are more intense, getting choked up.
Very emotional.
About how intense these practices are. Mm-hmm. No, but if the intensity of practice worries you, should he be playing an NFL game? Because let me tell you,
exactly,
those are pretty intense.
Exactly.
So I don't know. I don't know if it's gamesmanship or it's very honest. Like, nope, this is just the first day we feel comfortable him being out on the practice field. I don't know. It makes it more likely that he plays.
Sure.
But I don't know how likely it still is.
Yeah, it's an interesting way to do things. I don't remember this being the way it's treated. As I said, they didn't – not that the Lions were so concerned about Okuda or Jerry Hughes, but those guys were back on Wednesday. He comes back on a Friday despite the reporting that he was healthy. So what does it mean? I guess we'll find out after practice. I'm watching the video. That's the sound you might have heard before I muted it. Watching him walk onto the Texans field, they're practicing inside the stadium, and he's about to put on a helmet. He's dressed like all the other guys, so he's actually going to practice. He won't be on the side, at least from what we're seeing, the media can see. Will he be a full go in practice? I guess we'll find out once the injury report comes out. I imagine he'll be limited, which will put him in the questionable range as far as availability, and then we'll go from there. So we went from he was not playing at all to there's a real possibility that he can. The Texans have just done it in an interesting way, activating him on a Friday, designated him to return from IR. Okay, we'll have Michael Carroll coming up next. So let's get to some college football stuff a little quickly here as the Nico Collins news kind of short-circuited it. Alabama LSU, that's one of the bigger games of the weekend, if not the biggest, depending on how you feel about Georgia and Ole Miss. The thought initially is Alabama loves playing in Death Valley. They do pretty good there. And then you remember they did pretty good there when Nick Saban was the coach.
Yeah, that was the other guy.
That's the other guy, not this guy. Now, this guy has already beaten Georgia this year, but he's also lost to Tennessee and Vanderbilt. So a mixed bag. But the Vanderbilt loss is one they'll never forget. It'll always be on his resume, despite how good Vanderbilt has played this year. I want to know if Jalen Milroe is going to run the football. Mostly because we've seen LSU not be able to handle it. Now, they know who Jalen Milroe is. They know he's going to play, so I imagine they prepared for it. And the other question for me is, do I trust Garrett Nussmeier? Because Garrett Nussmeier, the last time we looked at him, boy, was he bad. Now, that was a road game, but he was so bad, we played the sound. He was so bad, the A&M DB was surprised he was throwing him the football. He goes, "You're not going to throw this ball." And he did it twice. He surprised him twice by how bad his decision-making was. So I had questions at quarterback, the health of Jalen Milroe, and the decision-making of Garrett Nussmeier. All that being said, Brian Kelly's record in Baton Rouge at night, I think I like LSU here. I think they win the game. I don't feel great about picking LSU, but it all stacks up for LSU to win this.
I understand that. I understand that they're shipping in a Tiger, not Mike the Tiger, but a different Tiger to be at this game. Did you see that?
What, Tiger Woods?
No, just an actual
Tiger. Why would an actual Tiger need to be at the game?
Because the LSU Tigers.
Yeah, but if it's not Mike, then why do they need an actual? Why if it's not Mike, why another Tiger?
Take it up with the governor. It's literally the governor.
So is he going to? Are we going back to like the 70s when a live animal is going to be on the field?
Yeah.
Is he going to be in a cage or on a metal chain?
I assume a cage, but so, I guess a leash could also.
So there, a leash, I don't think is going to work.
A big leash
with the giant one of the man
ones,
holding it.
One of the ones that Joe Exotic had.
So and that went well. Didn't someone lose their arm in that show?
Details.
Details matter when the Tiger is in the building. So they're bringing a Tiger to the game.
Yeah, I can't believe I
haven't seen it. They're stalking the sideline. A Tiger.
I don't know what their plans for this Tiger
just think,
is.
Remember that iconic video of that Auburn player nearly getting his groin bitten by Ugga. It's a little different if a Tiger.
Yeah, I wouldn't get that close.
No, I don't. Yeah, I imagine the Tiger will be in a cage, but I don't know. It's cage country. I don't know what they're going to do.
Yeah,
so we'll find out. That'll be some intrigue.
So that makes me feel.
So does that make you feel better about LSU chances that they're bringing out all the guns?
So initially it made me feel better, but then I found out it's not Mike the Tiger, yeah, and the LSU fans are like, "Why is this random Tiger going to be in our?"
Yeah, which seems like you're tempting fate.
Yeah,
if you're not bringing Mike to the game,
and then like you brought up with LSU's challenges, I would say to stop Marcel Reed running the football last time we saw him against A&M. Now, that was a surprise. They know what Jalen Milroe is. They had both teams coming off a bye week. So I thought, you know what? Let me just see what LSU did against Jalen Milroe last year, because they played last year. They know, you know, what worked, what didn't work against them. Dell, last year, Jalen Milroe was the leading rusher for Alabama.
Yep.
20 carries, 155 yards, and 4 touchdowns.
So
different defensive coordinator.
I was going to say, no matter who the defensive coordinator is, LSU has issues.
Different defensive coordinator, but the same issue with last week with Marcel Reed. That makes me think Alabama's going to win.
Yeah, see, if LSU's
and
defense,
the Tiger. Did I mention the fake Tiger?
It's a real one.
It's a real but it's a fake Mike.
It's a real Tiger named Omar.
Is it named Omar?
Omar Bradley is its full name.
Why does he have a last name?
Why can't a Tiger have a last name?
It's not a person.
The Tigers presumably named after Omar Bradley, the first chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. How do they know?
Not Omar from The Wire? Okay.
His last name wasn't Omar.
Oh.
But Omar is coming, apparently, to the game. Yes, yeah, from Orlando. They shipped him from Orlando, and Omar the Tiger will be at the game.
Cool.
I don't get any of this. If it ain't Mike, why are we doing it? But they're doing it.
Who's going to stop him?
Well, someone could have, but the governor said, "Nah, we're good with it."
No.
The governor actually made the suggestion, and that's why it's happening.
Yeah, no, the governor is pushing for it. LSU doesn't want to do this.
They stopped the practice nearly a decade ago after receiving a U.S. Department of Agriculture license to hold Mike on campus. So, well, okay, we got the license for it. We're just going to keep Mike in a pen.
Close enough.
Yes, but now I can't wait for them to bring that Tiger out. And have him on a leash, and then the dummy in the Tiger costume to come up, "Hey, let's take a picture." And they're like, "This Tiger doesn't know you. Mm-mm. You better stay the F back. Watch yourself."
It better be in the cage.
It has to be. It can't be the 70s when they actually had like predators as strolling the sidelines of games.
Yeah.
They used to do that, but it can't happen this time. There's no way. But it is Cajun country, so if the governor,
I mean, this whole thing is very Louisiana.
If the governor wants it to happen, I bet the Tiger will be stalking the sideline.
Yeah, whatever the governor says goes.
Yeah,
credit to him. I guess
I wouldn't give him credit too quickly. We don't know what's going to happen.
Well, credit for him getting it to happen.
He's the governor. Who's going to stop him?
True.
I'm sure there are not many guardrails in Louisiana to keep the governor from doing whatever he wants to do.
Yeah. Listen, it's either this or, I don't know, misappropriating funds. Well, that's all LSU or Louisiana governors do. So what are we? Come on. Let him have the Tiger.
I'm just reading more up on this as now I don't even want to talk about anything else, but why this Tiger's there.
I cannot believe that you did not know this.
I did not know. And PETA has obviously chimed in and go, hey, what are we doing
here?
Do they
love it? No, they don't love
it. Oddly enough, the second word in their statement is shameful.
Wait, what's the first?
It's shameful. All right.
Not so, shameful is what I was hoping for.
No. Unlikely. You were wrong. I appreciate the effort, but wrong.
I don't know. I thought it was 50-50 whether PETA liked this or not.
You thought there had been a flip in leadership and they had changed their views on things like this?
Yeah, I don't know.
And they don't take kindly to bringing a live Tiger just to amuse some fans, surprisingly enough. So we'll see Omar the Tiger on the sidelines for Alabama LSU. Now I'm siding with Alabama because of how ridiculous this is. I'm taking Alabama.
Right?
I flipped. This is so dumb, I'm taking Alabama.
Like, there's no way that they would. I thought with Mike, then that's like the whole, you know, there's some magic there.
The aura. You're bringing Mike on campus into the building for the first time in however long. But an imposter named Omar? Get the F out of here.
Is it just going to be like a dog spray painted to look like a tiger? Like, come on.
It's actually a cheetah.
Yeah.
And they painted stripes on it. So we'll see Omar at the game, and I'm taking Alabama now. Just for that reason. LSU out of the playoff picture after Saturday's game.
Both teams out with a loss.
Definitely.
I would think. Maybe not Alabama.
Who knows? All right.
Alabama's never out.
That's true. They find their way in remarkably no matter what the situation is, it feels like. The other one in the SEC, you've got Ole Miss versus Georgia. This is one of those things where I'll trust Jackson Dart and Lane Kiffin to win one of these games after they do it.
Yeah. My prediction, pain for Ole Miss.
Can Carson Beck avoid throwing the ball to the other team? He hasn't been able to the last five games. He's been terrible.
Yeah.
So probably not, but will Georgia win anyway?
Yeah.
They've done it the last couple weeks.
Probably, yeah.
They've beaten better teams than, well, not Florida, but they beat Texas, and Carson Beck couldn't throw the ball, couldn't avoid throwing the ball to Texas, and they still won those games.
They almost beat Alabama. Like, they erased a four-touchdown deficit.
Yes.
Against
I'll take Georgia. As many flaws as they have, and they start with their quarterback, and that should be a red flag for picking them in any big game. I've seen them win games when Carson Beck's been at his worst.
Yeah, on the road.
Yeah, Ole Miss isn't an environment that's going to shake up the dogs. I'll take Georgia to win that one. And Ole Miss is now eliminated from playoff contention after the game. What else is out there? We got Tech in Colorado. Someone tweeted us about that earlier.
That's a good one.
That is. Big 12. It's an underrated game because Colorado, not in full control, but they have a real shot to make the Big 12 title game. Tech coming off a big win against Iowa State, which helped Colorado get into the spot. Can Tech do it 2 weeks in a row? They don't have a good pass defense, which ain't great when you have Shedeur Sanders coming to town.
Oh, yeah. Well, does he have anyone to throw to? Oh.
He does have Travis Hunter.
Oh, yeah. He does have that guy to throw to.
Someone tweeted out something pretty funny. They started comparing Travis Hunter's wide receiver numbers to other wide receivers in football. And like, oh, so a guy who's pretty good at wide receiver and good at corner is going to win the Heisman? I was like, all right, that's a little simplistic. I think the overall impact is why.
Yeah.
But I mean,
the answer is, maybe yes.
I did. Yeah.
I get what they're saying.
I did think it was funny. He has a couple picks, obviously past the fence, breakups and all that stuff. But also, he's a good college receiver. He's not a great one, despite how people talk about him. Maybe it has something to do with him splitting time and playing both ways.
Yeah, that helps.
Yeah, he might be great at receiver if he could actually rest at any point. I like Tech at home against that Colorado team. I think I like Colorado to win.
I agree. I think
are we taking all road teams so far?
Alabama, Georgia, Colorado, yes. One of those teams is probably going to lose. Now that I say it out loud.
Yeah, now we've picked out of three big games we're focusing on.
You know what? Congratulations, Tech. You just won.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel much stronger in my convictions that now that I heard about that stupid Tiger being there, that Alabama's going to win and Georgia's going to win than I do Colorado's going to win. So if I'm taking one of those teams to lose, the higher profile teams, I would take Colorado to lose that game. I'm trying to think if there's anything else because we got to get to Michael Carroll. Thanks to Omar Bradley, the Tiger, we're short on time.
Sorry. I wouldn't have.
No, I appreciate it.
Yeah.
It would have just been a straightforward college football talk, and you gave me Omar Bradley, the Tiger.
I do not like that he has a last name. Can I say that? It really bothers me that this Tiger has a last name.
I don't like when animals have like pets, domesticated pets have last name.
Yeah. Yeah, like, no, I agree.
I will accept you calling your pet Tom. I think that's dumb, but I'll accept it. But don't give him a last name unless it's like a famous person's last name. You want to call him Tom Cruise. It's stupid, but I accept it.
Yeah, or if it's like a pet pun.
Yeah, but if you name your pet, give it a last name because it's your last name.
Get over yourself.
Knock it off. Okay.
R.I.P. Ben Herbstreet.
My comments on Ben Herbstreet. My real ones stay off the air.
Okay.
The ones on the air.
Can I get an RIP out of you?
The one, no. The one, the no, I'm not doing that. I will say, no one wants a beloved pet to die. The distance this is getting, a little much. That's all I'll say.
Okay. That's a good stopping point.
Yeah, because if I kept going, there'd be a real problem.
they would kill you.
Yeah. I'd be over. Okay. We move on. Coming up next, we'll hear from Michael Carroll, the host of Comicast. You know who he is. He joins us. He wasn't available last week because he wasn't around. That man could take some time off, but he's back. He'll tell you what you should or shouldn't watch, and maybe it's a TV show. Arcane is back. That might be on his list. We'll also talk about what he's talked about this week on Comicast. We'll talk about that when we come back.
But first, Prize Picks. Yes, America's number one daily fantasy sports app. You can get on the action. There's no better time right now. You've watched the games all season. You know your team. You know who's going to go off and who isn't. So make a little money doing so on Prize Picks. We're in the middle of the season. Guys are banged up. Luckily, Prize Picks has injury insurances for your lineups. That means if one of your players gets hurt in the middle of the game, there's no risk. They say, hey, you didn't see that coming when you took more on whoever got hurt. So that you take that off the board and you can still win some money on Prize Picks. That's what makes them the number one daily fantasy sports app. So whether it's college football, college basketball, NBA, NFL, everything they got going on this weekend, there's NHL, there's, again, European basketball, European soccer. You got women's college basketball, you have esports, MMA, tennis, whatever you're into, Prize Picks has it. Download the Prize Picks app today. Use promo code MAPES to get $50 instantly when you play your first $5 lineup. That's promo code MAPES to get $50 instantly when you play your first $5 lineup. Prize Picks, run your game.
ESPN
97.5.
And action!
It's Friday, and so you're probably wondering, what am I going to watch this weekend? Besides all the sports, of course. If you're not sure if you should go to the theater or stay home and binge something, we got you covered on the Del Olalea Show. Time to talk about what you should be watching this weekend with Del Olalea, Sean Mapes, and some guy named Michael Carroll.
Welcome back to the show. Michael Carroll is in the studio with me talking about all you need to know, whether it be movies, television, or in some people's eyes, just cartoons, because they think all we talk about is cartoons.
Rude.
Yeah. I mean, we might mention Arcane, which actually is a cartoon.
Is it a cartoon, though?
It's animated. It's animated, but it's not really a cartoon.
It's not a cartoon.
The themes aren't cartoon-like.
No, they're not.
It's like
I will tolerate no disrespect for Arcane on this show.
Yeah, it's about classism and other things involved. It's a great show on Netflix. Yeah. I believe the second season premiered today. I'll get home
tomorrow.
Tomorrow. Well, Saturday release.
Yeah, first three episodes.
Interesting. I don't remember last time one of their featured things was a Saturday release.
I think it was Arcane season one. That was the last time.
I guess it's just their thing with that show.
That's just their thing.
So I'll look at. Well, I guess I'm not watching it tomorrow. A lot of college football, but I'll get to it at some point. Before we talk again. So, Comicast has now moved from Fridays to Wednesdays at 8. You can find it and the news from Comicast beyond what they talk about is Zhong Li is back. The former producer of The Blitz is back with Michael after paternity leave. And issue 566 was about all the things that Marvel showed us from their trailer. It was a compilation trailer. People didn't see it. It was all the things that are coming from Marvel, and it was like snippets from multiple shows, from Ironheart to Daredevil to Wonder Man, who I had never heard of before. I did not know Wonder Man was a thing. We can get into that. What If as well. But obviously, what needs to come to the forefront and to bring Sean Mapes into the show. These two gentlemen have both watched the latest Venom movie. I have heard a spoiler-filled review of it, so I feel like I've watched it myself, considering how they talked about the movie. We will. I know, Sean, you are a big fan. We don't have to spoil the movie for anyone who wants to watch it, but let's go with Sean, who has a very, I feel, positive view of the movie.
Yeah,
and
Sean.
And then we'll move to our more accomplished reviewer in our second part of the review.
Yeah, if you want to know what the people think,
as opposed
talk
to the
to
critics,
me,
yes.
The critics sitting in their ivory tower looking down on you, judging you for liking
the
a
Mike
fun
Gundy's
movie.
Of the world.
Yeah, a fun movie about a relationship between a man and his alien who inhabits his body.
That's right. And a horse.
And a horse and a frog and a fish.
Yeah.
That's not a spoiler. Those are in the trailers.
That's true.
No camel, though. I think that was one of the posters. No camel.
Wow, we didn't get a camel.
Yeah, we didn't get a camel. Dang.
Next time.
I thought it was The Last Dance. What do you mean the next time?
There's an encore.
okay.
Venom 4, the encore. Beyond 4. Yeah, no, I thought it was an enjoyable movie. It's a classic case, and our off the air talks about it with Michael, which get really nasty.
You know, super.
We have to keep it off the air.
Brutal.
I think it comes down to if you like the first two, you'll like this one. If you didn't like the first two, you won't like it. It is very much you have to be down. You have to be down with the symbiote.
You have to be down
symbiotes.
With Venom?
Yeah, you got to be down with the symbiote.
Okay.
To really enjoy this, and you have to enjoy, which I did, a detour in the middle of this movie that you're like, wait, am I still watching the same movie? That was fun, though. It was fun. It was maybe the best part of the movie.
He's saying no.
It was maybe the best
part.
Oh, really? You liked all the parts in the lab?
No.
That
I don't think you
liked
much of it, from what I can tell.
You missed me with all that lab stuff.
It's so dumb. I'm
so
sorry.
So we're given three Mapes, four Mapes out of five. How many Mapes are we given for this?
Yeah, I'll give it a three.
A three?
Yeah.
Michael? Mm.
Three out of five.
Three's kind of high.
Is it generous? Three?
Three's kind of generous. I
3 out of 10, I think you would go with.
I would. Yeah, that would where I'd lean towards. Okay. 3 out of 10. I gave it.
Hater.
Such a hater. I gave it 2 out of 5. Oof. On Letterboxd. It was like if you want to be a goofy movie, not to be confused with a goofy
which
movie.
Which is actually a really good movie.
Which is actually, yeah. What word that? If you want it to be like this fun, goofy movie, be that the whole time. Not give us this world-ending plot at the beginning, and then in the middle of the movie, we do this road trip with this random family that makes no sense. The comedy did not work for me at all. I was just – I didn't laugh once. Wow. I didn't laugh.
Sean, how many laughs did you
– plenty.
Oh.
The Otto Hightower was killing it. By the way, that's the
Risa
comedic
fans.
Relief in this.
Is Otto the guy who plays Otto Hightower is the comedic relief?
That's baffling.
Okay. I mean, the guy is more than Otto Hightower, so I'm sure he has that type of range, except he didn't make Michael
he's
laugh.
He's also Kirk Connors, right?
He's Connors, and that's the other thing. Let's keep using people in the Sony universe that are not really tied to this movie. But, like, this is not a spoiler. He plays a deadbeat dad. Not even a deadbeat dad.
No,
I guess
not a deadbeat. He's the opposite of a deadbeat.
I'm sorry.
He's very involved with
inattentive?
He gives up his... Him and his wife give up their, like, family's fortune, or not fortune, whatever they have, to live in a van and go see Area 51.
They're very spiritual people.
They're very stupid people.
Wow, we've got a clear difference.
It was just like, why are we wasting time with this? So, like, if you wanted to,
I would say walking into the theater was a waste of time.
Not much time.
Touche. It's only like 2 hours.
That's the only reason I'm going
to. That's really not
2 hours.
Long.
I thought it was like 90 minutes.
No, that's Venom 2.
2 hours, maybe stretching the ability for me to watch that movie. 2 hours of it.
I mean, it's like hour 45.
Hour 45, okay.
It flies by, too.
Yeah, I'm sure. Wow.
It didn't fly by for me. Also, my theater, I think the entirety of the theater only laughed once.
Wow.
Yeah, it was not. Like, we all just were sitting
there. A different
there.
Crowd than what you had, Sean.
Yeah. No. I mean, because I was in that theater.
And you laughed far more than once.
It was just
Were you the only one laughing?
No. No.
Were your friends? Oh, it was your friends who were laughing too.
Yeah. Them too.
Just to be clear, I did not watch this with a bunch of critics. In my ivory tower. Mm-hmm. I watched it with the normal moviegoer.
There's
experience.
No laughing. There's just a lot of pins.
Yeah, just a lot of
scribbling
like,
down notes for all their podcasts.
And a lot of popcorn bags going, I really wish I got more. Just like, because this movie, I don't know. I just, and then the tease that they set up, it. What are we setting up for? Because we all know this is the end for Venom at this
Do
point.
We?
Well, I don't think so, but that's what they led us to believe.
So you would say if you watch the first two and you're a completist, just watch it.
But, I mean, if you really want to.
But there's nothing beneficial, at least according to you.
No. Like, I mean, they had this whole angle that they set up at the end of the last movie with Patrick Mulligan that they just don't pursue in this one. And they make it a point to tell you, yeah, the thing that happened to him at the end of the last movie, it left him. It just left him.
Oh, okay.
Why did it leave him? Undo. And they create this plot device for Venom as to why he can't be Venom for a lot of the movie, but then proceeds to tell us how dangerous this rule is if he breaks it. But I got to dance with Mrs. Chin, so I'm going to break the rule. I'm going to break the rule right now. It's so dumb.
Man made some bad decisions, or the alien made some bad decisions in Las Vegas.
The alien was telling us so much about, we can't do this, Eddie, we can't do this. And they're like, well, I kind of like gambling and I kind of like Mrs. Chin, so I'm going to do it. I don't know. It was dumb.
It fits what I assume that movie would be about. And the smile on Sean's face as he talks about it is amazing.
The doctor...
The more you guys don't like it, the more I like it.
I haven't even seen it, and I don't like it.
There's a bit with the doctor that's played by, I think, Juno Temple in this movie. And they give this super melodramatic thing.
That part was crazy.
That's just wild. About
the backstory that I kept thinking would come up never came up.
It never came up.
There's no reason to give this random doctor
backstory. I mean, yeah, she's not random, but like... Why are we spending however much time talking about her twin brother? And like, there's nothing it adds to the movie.
So if you guys are listening, and if you like the stylings of Sean, go watch it. If you like the stylings of Michael, stay away.
Or if you like the stylings of Tom Hardy, or Tom Hardy's depiction of Venom.
See, at least that he saved it for me in the first
Topher
two.
Grace's?
But like,
maybe Topher Grace is your Venom, and you're not.
No,
gonna...
then you will
no.
not like.
Okay. Yeah, you will.
If you're not like if
this.
You're a Topher head.
Yeah, no,
okay.
No.
Okay. So. That's a clear yes for Sean and a definite why would you for Michael Carroll.
What are you doing?
Yeah, do something else.
That's right. A please don't.
How about you give us something you actually think people should watch?
Well, I will. We're past Halloween. We're past spooky time and all that. But the big release this weekend is Heretic with Hugh Grant. I mean, that's sitting at 94%, sitting well with critics, sitting well with most people. So that's honestly the top pick for the weekend for folks if you want to go check it out. There's a couple like just random action movies. Elevation with Anthony Mackie and Marina Baccarin from like the Deadpool movies and things like that.
She was also in Homeland. She was the wife.
That's out. I honestly thought that was a Netflix release. I thought so too,
considering how the promotion I was seeing was mostly like Instagram ads. I hadn't seen much promotion online.
Apparently, it's a wide release but it's not 52% right now. Weekend in Taipei, a Luke Evans joint. You know, if you want Luke Evans in your life, but it's 50%. My low-key, like, under-the-radar pick, 100 yards.
Martial arts. You didn't mention Han is in the movie, Weekend in Taipei.
Yeah.
Han is in Weekend in Taipei.
That would get Sean in the building.
I saw him lean over and go, oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm all about it. But, yeah, Weekend in Taipei if you want to go watch that. But okay. 100 yards, I would go recommend people check that out. It's a limited release, so it might not be, like, the times may not be the best, but... it looks like a fun martial arts action movie, and I'm all about martial arts action movies.
Gotcha.
That's it for theaters. Heretic's probably the main one people are going to go watch. This weekend, we've already talked about it. streaming wise, Arcane season 2, 3 years later. It's been a long time.
And we talked about that yesterday off air.
Yeah,
the length of time between releases.
It took forever to get season 2, but season 2 returns tomorrow. I don't know the release time for tomorrow, but it comes back the first
Arcane, three
episodes.
I don't know if it's going to happen. I imagine the production levels and time makes it not happen, but I better not see a guest appearance from Josh Allen as a voice just because he happens to be dating one of the stars of the show. Let's not have that happen. I don't need
a
cameo.
I would hope not.
Hey, he tortures me on Sundays. I don't need it when I'm trying to relax. I mentioned that because he's dating Hailee Steinfeld. Yep. You have Elle Purnell in the movie. The show as well. She's currently starring in Sweet Pea. You would have seen her in Fallout. Mm-hmm. She's been in a lot of things. Her career is popping right now. So those are your two main people. It's obviously they're doing voices. You can't see them. But if you're fans of those two women and their work, you can see or hear them in that show.
In season one, like I always like to put the Rotten Tomatoes things to help like solidify for people. Like there is a good chunk that like this. Still after 3 years, it's still at 100% season okay. one. So it's a really good show. You don't have to know the video game that it's based on. I don't know it.
Neither
I never played it.
I've so never
I,
done played it.
I
either,
never yeah. it. But it's just a really good story and show. You have Yellowstone season 5 part 2 comes out this weekend. I'm not a Yellowstone person.
It's been like I haven't kept up with it since like season 2, so I don't know much about it.
This is the final season, so
Kevin Costner decided he wanted to make movies instead. Yeah. Movies that are very similar, at least in aesthetics, to the show he was on.
So you got that Outer Banks season 4 part 2 for folks that are into that. I just find this funny that, you know, we talked about it like I think last month, Citadel, that other show came out.
Yes.
There's another one that just came out, yeah, Citadel.
Honey Bunny, yeah. It's based in India?
Yeah, India. Yes.
So if you remember, I talked not so glowingly about the Richard Madden, Priyanka
Chopra, I think,
joint spy series. They made a Italian language one, and now I don't know what language this one will be in, but it's set in India. So it's a whole universe they're creating from a show that not many people liked.
But I like that both of the shows that have been after the main one
have been reviewed
way better.
Yeah, which speaks to, hey, Richard Madden.
No, that show sucked. Hey, that show was
yeah.
Not
hey, but Richard, I don't know. Hope for an alternate reality version of Game of Thrones where you get to do that role again.
Rob Stark Merchant?
Yeah, apparently. Well, he was in The Bodyguard on Netflix. That was good.
So good.
That was good. So he's not purely a Rob Stark Merchant, but The Bodyguard is like one screen to get him a jump shot. But everything else, I don't remember anything he's been in that anyone's cared about.
The Penguin season finale this weekend.
That's true.
Excited for that. Since we're, you know, ESPN, Countdown to Paul and versus Tyson. I don't know if anyone wants to watch that on Netflix, but you got that. Probably not. Okay.
No.
That's all I needed.
We're good.
No, okay. We're good on that.
I might watch the actual fight if it's on.
Maybe. Netflix, well, at least with me, has a problem. I don't think of it as a place to go watch sports. Now, the Texans will be playing a game later, so obviously that'll lock me in. Yeah, but at this, I don't think of it as a place I want to watch live anything. So maybe the Texans game will convince me that, hey, it's a place for that. But, yeah, the fight, as you mentioned, will be on, and I might get to it. It's unlikely, though. I'll just get the updates on social media. All right, Michael, we appreciate you joining us once again. And
Thank you again.
Comicast has a new time, 8 o'clock on Wednesday. Also, you can find it wherever you listen to your podcast. It's issue 566. They give a review of episode 7 of The Penguin and also the season finale of Agatha All Along and everything that is everything for the MCU in 2025. If you like spoilers, if you've already watched those two episodes of those shows I mentioned, you can get an in-depth spoiler review from Michael Carroll and Jong Lee. You hear that music? That means we are done. And since we're done for the week, what does that mean?
We did it!
We did do it. Gallant and George are up next, followed by the Killer Bees. I'll talk to you on Monday.
ESPN 97.5. L-E-D-E-N-P-T.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 100% match on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.